Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We heard earlier this hour about how West Africa, and specifically Sierra Leone and Liberia, have become ground zero of the Ebola outbreak. It's why the leader of Sierra Leone did not attend the Obama administration's Africa summit in Washington, D.C. this week. But the problems of Sierra Leone go way back before Ebola. Writer Ishmael Bea says the stage was set for the chaos in his country during the 10-year civil war he experienced firsthand as a boy soldier. He wrote about that time in A Long Way Gone, Memoirs of a Boy Soldier. He's our voice from Africa today. And Ishmael says he worries that the Obama administration's development aid handouts from Washington, D.C. may be repeating mistakes of the past.
My worry is that every other president has done this. George W. Bush had, AIDS to Africa funding. President Clinton has growth to Africa development, and we have yet to see really tangible outcomes, particularly for the population of some of these countries that these leaders are coming from. But the initial reaction that I have is the way it's spoken of, potential for Africa, promise for Africa. Africa as a continent has always had potential and promise. This is why its history is the way it
right.
is. It's
We're getting a little tired of potential and promise.
Yeah, but it's always been there. This is why it was colonized, for that potential and promise. This is why it continues to have a different kind of colonization, if you will. So it's not new in that sense. It's more, are we going to really do things, put things in place that are going to be mutually beneficial for whoever is going to have that relationship with any African country, you know?
And America has had a puzzling kind of relationship with Africa going back to John Kennedy. And do you see anything that's come of it? I mean, I think there was a period of time in the 1980s where the U.S. relationship with Africa was, Mobutu, supporting dictators.
Of course. I mean, we can go on and point fingers in all of these things, but I think each country always has the interest of their own sovereignty and their own nation and what they can get from another country. That is clear enough for everybody. But I think what has been difficult to understand is the direct movement to really curtail growth and development so that there's a reliance from various African countries, and not just the United States, but other countries around the world as well. And I think that's the thing that's hard to swallow as a young person coming from this continent and wants to see it prosper in a certain way. For example, in this summit, there's a discussion about a relationship between import and export and agriculture and things like this. That worries me a little bit, particularly when it comes to the United States, because we've seen experiences of places like Haiti and in Jamaica, even about when that happens, how that is usually the move to create a market for the American farmers so that the local population or the countries suffer and they can't do anything with their own goods and services anymore, and they become reliant upon what's coming from the outside. So I'm hoping our leaders are smart enough to strike better deals, you know.
Your book, A Long Way Gone, Memoirs of a Boy Soldier, suggests that you can put something like being a boy soldier in your past. Can you do that?
Yeah, I mean, these are things that are possible to do. I think each human being has a strength to recover, and it takes time. And also it's possible with opportunities. That's what I was able to be lucky, not only to come out of it, but also to have access to certain opportunities and then to discover what I can do with myself. In a place like Sierra Leone post-war and other places around the African continent or around the world in general, you find that there aren't opportunities provided for my generation, for young people who have come from difficulties, who have been not fortunate enough to sort of be in positions where their early childhood was sort of marred by these violence and these sort of instabilities. And then governments come back in power and then they forget about that population. They don't really create opportunities for people to progress. It's not good anywhere. And that also can trigger a lot of other things in any countries. For example, it becomes a reason why electoral processes are not very good, because that population can be tapped into to disrupt electoral processes because they have nothing going on in mm-hmm. their lives. You know. So,
a child at play will pretend maybe to be a soldier as a symbol of power. One of the things you write about in your book is that being a child soldier is actually to be completely powerless. How do you convey that?
Well, I think there is some powerlessness, and then there's also some power. The powerlessness comes in the fact that you don't own your life. The commanders and circumstances own your life. The next minute you could die, you know, you lose any sense of thinking for future. You think, can I live to see the next minute? And if that's possible, can I live? So that's pretty much powerlessness in a way.
How old were you then?
Can determine. I was 13 when I started fighting. But the power comes with the fact that you have access to a weapon. And in certain circumstances, that is the only way you can live. You know, I think if anybody, it doesn't matter where you are, what part of the world you come from, if you find yourself in the similar circumstances, you do not know what you would do. Often we say, oh, I can't embrace violence, but you can do that when you're speaking from a peaceful situation. You can stand on the highest moral pedestal, but when your life is marred with violence and the only way to live is perhaps to embrace violence, you'll be surprised what you can do.
What should the U.S. know about Sierra Leone from your perspective?
Well, I think probably whatever the U.S. needs to know about Sierra Leone, the intelligence community already knows.
Right.
But whether they choose to use that information honestly, that is the question. Do they see Sierra Leone as a place that they can actually, as they always put it, that they can support the growth of democracy and building institutions, or would they see it as another place where they can have access to certain natural resources at the demise of the population or something? So that's a question they have to ask themselves. Is there a balance that can be? But also I take our leaders should take responsibility to know who they're going to let into our country to build in the structures that can make sure that people who are coming to invest are vetted to make sure these are people that are not going to come and bring up other problems. There are other countries on the African continent who have been doing it very well, like Botswana, for example. They have natural resources. If you want to come to extract them, you do it based on the standards they set for you because you want it, you know, so, you know, and it has to benefit the country. So there are lots of things that can be done, but I think our leaders have to know that they have the power because they have the natural resources, that they have the bargaining power. But often I don't think they're interested, or maybe they have forgotten service. You asked a question earlier that I want to go back to. With, you know, I think for me, one of the most important foreign policies that the United States has ever had that was effective, that was good, was the Peace Corps. Because this allowed Americans to go into other cultures and live like other people and actually learn something and also give whatever they could. You know, I remember the first white person I ever saw, an American, was a Peace Corps guy who was in my village teaching English. And so that was my version of what America is. And this guy was down to earth. You know, he had worn shoes and walked around with it until he was dirty. So that, I think that's what the people are missing, you know, in the sense that there's an exchange. Each person has something to give to the other.
Is Sierra Leone home to you, or is it more of a nightmare?
No, Sierra Leone is my home. It's not a nightmare. It's my home. I think it's the only place that I feel at peace when I'm there. I've lived in the West for quite some time, more than I want to, but it never feels completely like home. Only when I'm in Sierra Leone that I feel my spirit is at rest.
Ishmael Bia, thanks so much.
Thank you.